I like your prayer about going into uncharted waters, Glenda. That's somewhat exciting and scary. The good thing is, though, that Jesus walks on the water ahead of us, or he's in the boat with us, or whatever metaphor really works for you. But we're not alone. That's the good thing. As we step into the future, Jesus is with us. So Glenda mentioned, it's very exciting about the building. Last Thursday, we went unconditional on 25 Union Street. That means we have to buy it, unless... And this Wednesday, we settle, which means we buy it on Wednesday. Is that right, Marty? That's right. I've probably stolen all your thunder, but it's a good intro for my sermon. So that, obviously, that's really important for us as a church as we think about the building and what that means and fit out and, you know, as we negotiate and work with our brothers and sisters downstairs and who will go where and how big the kitchen will be or whatever the issues might be. But really, as we prepare to move as a church sometime next year, later next year probably, perhaps an even more important question is, what kind of church do we want to be? Not just what kind of building do we want to be in, but what kind of church do we want to be? What will be important to us? What are the values that will be known? What do we want to be known by? Perhaps by our neighbours, by people in Auckland City or beyond, people looking us up on Google, whatever it might be. What are the things that we will say, these are the things we'll spend our time and our money on as a church that we believe is important? And as probably all of us know, if you've ever moved, if you've ever had a transition in your life, which probably all of us have at some point, like birth is probably the first transition we go through from this lovely womb environment. So everyone's had a transition. even Ellie and Julia have had a very big transition. They're still trying to get to grips with, aren't they? And so that disruption, that big disruption, provides an opportunity for a big conversation about who we are and what we're doing and where we're going. And that really is the purpose of Redemptive Family, not to answer all the questions and say, this is it, but to get us talking, get us interacting, get us thinking and dreaming and acting as well as a team. So we're looking at Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, and a really good tool is BibleGateway.com. If you want to, if you're online and you search a verse and think, what does John 3:16 say, and press enter, the top thing will probably be a BibleGateway.com reference. So you print out, what I did is I just printed out these verses from BibleGateway.com and got my highlighter out and observed a few things. And in the green, there are kind of actions. These are the things that the church was involved in. And they were listening to the apostles' teaching. There was fellowship. There was breaking of bread. There was prayer. There were signs and wonders. They gave to those who had need. In fact, they even sold possessions. They met together in the temple courts and in homes as well. They praised God. And the last two green ones should have been yellow, so I changed my mind. But, you know, why waste money on another printout? So result was yellow. And results, what happened is they were involved in these things. Well, everyone was filled with awe because of the amazing things God was doing. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And, of course, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's exciting. They were seeing people come to Christ and grow. There's, as you look at this, there's real evidence of the transforming power of God. If you recall at the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus ascends to heaven, but he promises that the Holy Spirit will come. They wait around praying and all of that. They're very excited because Jesus is not dead. He's alive, but they're not sure what happens next. But then the Holy Spirit comes. Tongues of fire, they speak in the languages of people all who are there for the Passover from all around the world, Jewish and God-fearers, and they're speaking in their language, and then Peter stands up and preaches. Great opportunity, great timing, just like Steve last night at Rice Rally. Boof, preach the word once we were sort of worshipped up to our eyeballs, and then it was fantastic. And so the result of Peter's preaching was 3,000 were added to their number. And then, of course, the next chapter is this one. The next passage is this one. And you see the baby church taking those baby steps, not very structured. We don't have elders. We don't have a lot of systems in place. We don't have deacons or managers who are in charge of things. We see in Acts 6:6 some more organization taking place. So this is fresh. This is exciting. And as you think about the life cycle of an organization or of a movement, this is at the beginning. This is the real exciting stage, and it is exciting, and God is growing it. Wouldn't it have been amazing to be part of this at this time, to see God working and realize that while Jesus had gone to heaven, he was still with them, and his power was still with them, and the gospel was powerful, and it was spreading, and there weren't just 12 or 26, but there were 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. And historians reckon that by the time the Roman Empire became officially Christian in 300 and something AD, a third of the Roman Empire were Christian. Amazing, eh? Already. And then the rest moved in quickly. Not sure if that was a great moment in church history, but there it was. Another thing you notice is motive, and I picked up a couple of nice statements here. They devoted themselves. They were very enthusiastic and passionate and committed, and they had glad and sincere hearts. They were not going through the motions. It was far too early to get into a rut. They were sincerely glad, and so that's pretty cool, isn't it? So there's a lot in that passage to reflect on as we think about the early church, and indeed our own church as well, and ask the question, as we should often do, how are we going in those areas? There's a great quote from J.B. Phillips, who wrote a paraphrase of the Bible in his The Young Church in Action, and he says these words: "It is impossible to spend several months in close study of the remarkable short book of Acts without being profoundly stirred and, to be honest, disturbed. The reader is stirred because he is seeing Christianity, the real thing, in action for the first time in human history. The newborn church, as vulnerable as any human child, having neither money, influence, nor power in the ordinary sense, is setting forth joyfully and courageously to win the pagan world for God through Christ. Yet, we cannot help feeling disturbed as well as moved. For this surely is the church as it was meant to be. It is vigorous and flexible. For these are the days when it, before it ever became fat and short of breath through prosperity or muscle-bound by over-organization. These people did not make acts of faith, they believed. They did not say their prayers, they really prayed. They did not hold conferences on healing, they simply heal the sick. But if they were uncomplicated and naive by modern standards, we have ruefully to admit that they were open on the Godward side in a way that is almost unknown today." So as we look at this passage, we are stirred and excited, but perhaps as well we are disturbed. And we wonder why the church does not have the same vitality and the same evidence of God's work and power today. And perhaps there are a number of reasons for this, which many have thought about and wrote about. A big one is secularism, this idea essentially that there is no supernatural, which we as a church, it's kind of our fundamental thing, we believe in God. So we are not secularists, and yet we are impacted by secularism. Maybe it's entertainment, you know, just being able to at any time flick on and continue our series on that we're watching or listening to. Maybe it's comfort. You know, most of us have pretty comfortable lives and so on. What are the things that drain us of the power and the freshness of the Christian church? Many of these are things, I'm sure, but I am, as my wife will tell you, usually by nature an optimist. And I reckon that as we think about the church, Christ is still risen, the Holy Spirit has come, The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And in fact, the church is growing around the world in unprecedented numbers. And as many people have reflected, the last 20 years, more has happened in terms of evangelistic success among Muslim people than in the last 1,200 years. So it's very exciting what's going on. But we can sometimes think, oh gosh, you know, where, Lord? How? Who? Show your power in a real way to us. So we're disturbed, but disturbed. So hence we're looking at the series called Redemptive Family. Redemptive Family. As I've mentioned before, it's a 5-part series plus intro. This is the intro. This is known as the Get Excited week. And then it starts next week. That's kind of my Kermit the Frog kind of excitement expression there. Designed to help us imagine ways of doing simple mission together that are effective and warmly relational. We don't want to do something that's ineffective and awkward. Now, obviously, some things are a bit awkward. Let's be honest. If we don't want any awkwardness, sometimes we're just going to sit there and do nothing. But hopefully, this is enjoyable, it's fun, and it's also effective as well. So this is what's happening. This is week zero. This is the week of gearing up. Get the guide. As Glenda mentioned, we have the personal devotional guide and a group. So I would encourage you, if you're perhaps lagging in your quiet time devotional habit, which in terms of church statistics around New Zealand, I suspect some of you are. This is reality of where we live. Then do grab that. It's 5 studies a week starting next week, not this week. However, you can start anytime you like. No, it doesn't matter, but you've still got a week to psych yourself up. You know, it's like when you start training for a marathon or something. You've still got a week to, have the old diet and the old lack of exercise, and then you start a day and say, boof, I'm beginning, and then you get out of bed and start running. Okay, so that's what next week is. Well, this week is the gearing up phase, the mental preparation, very important, you know, and so on. But of course, you're welcome to start like straight away. I decided to simplify the names of the titles. So we've got family, place, friends, team, and change. Those are the 5 topics of our series. Family, place, friends, team, change. In the week 6, the leadership team meets, and we meet with the Love Your Neighbor crowd, and we talk about all the feedback we've got from you. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then the following week, we have the workshop at St. Peter's. Okay, we're doing it at St. Peter's and Harrison Road because they have parking. So it's much easier for Friday night, Saturday morning. It's just Friday night, Saturday morning, 4th and 5th of October. Mark your diaries now. Have a look. Maybe even look on your phone while I'm talking. I'll let you. Check if you're free and put in workshop, ACPC workshop. So that's basically an overview. And I thought I'd just wander through the 5 weeks now, just to give you a bit of a taste. Now, a friend of mine has written a great little book called Village Without Walls. He's now an Anglican in Palmerston North, and I met him a few weeks ago. He put on a fantastic conference, this is what he says in his book. I have a dream of a church being family, of everyone being accepted, loved, and valued, where everyone is an uncle and auntie to the youngest and the smallest. I reckon that fits our church pretty well, doesn't it? Where kindness is a lifestyle and forgiveness is always offered. Now, that's easier said than done, but that's the dream, that's the vision. I have a dream that the young will take their place as the church of today and leaders of tomorrow. And I had the privilege of having my eardrums blasted last night at Rice Rally, and there was a real sense of the young, this next generation, taking their place and stepping forward, literally, to follow Christ and to lead our church. Isn't that fantastic? So the first one is reflecting on the church as family. Week 2 is, now there's a word there that says place, but that disappeared. Sometimes it happens. And you can see place. You can see Vincent Street over to the right. You can see 105 Union Street in the middle. And where has God placed us as a church? And what does that mean for us? So where we are now, because we're still here, and where we will be. If you think about Union Street, for example, you've got the City Mission next door for 2 years. and then moving back to Hobson Street. Lots of apartments, Orchard Road. That's Singapore. The Sugar Tree all around it, and then the Union Green starting to take shape on the other side. I was noticing the buildings yesterday. Businesses, eateries, of course. There's right across this doesn't have a red thing, does it? But right across the bridge where the motorway is down Wellington Street, you've got this suburb known as Freeman's Bay, which leads into Ponsonby. And it's right there. So you're right on the doorstep of a very nice little suburb school there. And up the hill, of course, is Auckland Girls Grammar on House Street. So, and of course, Spaghetti Junction right there. So it's an interesting place. It feels very central, doesn't it? Feels very much in the middle of everything, especially in terms of motorways. Hopefully, maybe we could have a thing. Don't drive past. Come in and meet Jesus, or something like that. We could think about this creatively. So what is our place? Where has God placed us? And looking at that placemakers up there, that's a good word for us. We need to be placemakers, don't we, as a church? Okay, so place is the next one. Then we'll talk about friends. And this is, I guess, the beating heart of the Redemptive Family series. Who are the people that we know? Not the people we don't know initially, but the people we already know. Colleagues, friends, neighbours, maybe we don't know them super well, but what might be the next step for them? Now, often we look at this and think, oh, yes, this is where we talk about evangelism. Now, we're not saying, introduce yourself to your neighbour and then I want them in church the next week. But what we are saying is, in your relationships, what is the very next, maybe little step to make it a little bit more redemptive? Maybe we've got new neighbours. The first step for Rachel and I is meet them. We haven't met them. They've got a yappy dog. We know this. Who sets our dog off and the other dog as well. So perhaps that's part of us is thinking, I've got a yappy dog. We need to get past the yappy dog and say, hi, I'm Andrew. This is Rachel, my wife Rachel, and so on. It'll probably be more the other way around. I'm Rachel. This is Andrew over there. So what's the next step in our relationships, and a bit of courage may be required, but as we're encouraging each other, this is the value of the groups, then we can take that next step and help our friends over here become our friends here at ACPC and introduce them to each other in a natural way. Team. I love this because we're a team. We all have different gifts. Some of us are good at organizing events. Some of us are great at cooking, at praying, at inviting people, at sharing our faith, at organizing, structure type of things, or being kind to people in practical ways, whatever it might be. You think about something like potluck dinner. A lot of people are involved in that, because they're cooking, they're sharing, they're inviting, and so on. And many other things. This service, other events, the thing we'll be doing on the 15th, great thing to invite people to. A fundraiser. We had a fundraiser some years ago in our church before the last one. We had a young boy that had kind of a facial paralysis thing. And there were only a few people in the world who could operate at that time. I believe that it's becoming more common. But this guy over in Toronto had performed the operation many times. So we raised over a period of a year or so about $100,000 for this boy to go to Toronto for the surgery. And we did pantomime, we did quizzes, we did an auction. They got money from the Lions. It wasn't just us. But it was a massive catalyst for working together for a really worthwhile goal, and having lots of fun as a family as well. So these kind of things unite us together, and one of the purposes of the workshop is to think about what can we do together, and then change. Change is difficult. You know, when you get a new phone, you think, oh, great, I have to work out the phone. My wife has got her first iPhone. The rest of us have had iPhones for years. She's finally got into the world of iPhones, and it's kind of sitting there. She's still got the old Android and the iPhone just sitting there, and it's mainly Android at the moment. And someone of us has to take pity on her and just train her and help her and guide her and encourage her in the world of Apple. And she'll get there. But change is difficult. I show this picture of plastic because the reality is there was a quote that every piece of plastic that has ever been made still exists in some form. And I thought, is that true? Because some of it's been burned up. But apart from the maybe that's been burned up, really bad, horrible smoke from it, most of it still exists, maybe small little microparticles in the ocean, you know, in the bellies of tortoises and fish. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? Plastic. And when we think about the world and the plastic, we've got to change, and it's a difficult transition. We've got away from plastic bags from supermarkets, tick, but there's a whole lot more of weaning ourselves off plastic, or at least chucking it in the ocean, has to do. So change is difficult. I remember some years ago, in the 90s, we changed, for whatever reason, we had been called Student Life, our student university Christian group. And then it was changed back to the international name for about 8 years. It was changed to Campus Crusade for Christ. And the reason for this is we had students from Hong Kong and Singapore and Malaysia and Indonesia and other places who were looking for Campus Crusade for Christ and couldn't find us. So we changed the name. But as I took over leadership, I really strongly felt that it was a barrier. And it's even more so now, the word crusade. But we presented to the staff at a conference this idea of changing the name. It did not go down well because we ambushed them. They didn't expect it. We had all the presentation and all of that. So one of the things with change is doing it well and carefully, because we are, even me, are resistant to change at times. Within 6 months or so, we talked and we kind of asked forgiveness for the way we'd got about it, and we did change the name, logo, website, everything, and really helped lay the foundation for Student Life as it still is today. But with change, we want to ask the question, where do I need to change and where does our church need to change? So, what next? Purchase a daily devotional book, $5, and a weekly survey pad. So, the Love Your Neighbor team have redone the weekly survey, and we've just printed them out. So, if you've got a book already, do grab the weekly survey, and we want to get that at the end of the week. So, not next week, but the week after, and we'll have boxes for that. The reason for that is to get feedback from you on what God is saying to you. Sign up for a small group, and of course, pray for transformation. So these are our small groups. We have Tuesday nights, and for the next few weeks, thank you so much to Rexon and Kate. We're going to be at Nugent Street, 6A, apartment 405. So we've got free parking on the, almost the roof. Is it the roof? Is this, yeah, free parking on the roof. So the reason we've moved there is that group has real potential for more people, doesn't it? More people for that group. And so we want to encourage you, if you're not in a group, Tuesday night, Nugent Street, which is kind of like, is it between Eden Terrace and Grafton and Khyber Pass, and what is that area called? Grafton. Grafton. It's called Grafton. So very, very central, isn't it? Wednesday night here, 6:45. Talk to Rob if you're interested. Thursday, or one of the other members here. Thursday, fortnightly. And the really cool thing about the fortnightly groups is before the workshop, you have room for four studies of the five, even though you're only meeting fortnightly, so because you're starting a week slightly early. So that's Thursday fortnightly from this Thursday and from this Saturday as well, and the contact details are there. Is that correct? Am I singing out of tune, as it were? Good. Telling tales out of school? Or perhaps your week and start another one. And it could be just you and a friend or your family, a couple of friends, or join one of those. As I say, I'm really pumping all of them, but particularly Tuesday night, because there's lots of parking. And so that is good. That could be another good logo for our new church. Lots of parking, but still don't come late if you want it. Okay, so we've talked about Redemptive Family. The series coming up, I really want to encourage you to get involved and to make a commitment, because we need your journey with God and your thinking and praying and your input as well. And I really want to encourage you to think about being in a small group if you can. I know for some you're at a life stage where that's just hard, but everyone can do the personal devotion. Let's just read this passage again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May we as a church experience that on a very, very regular basis and just see the power of God at work in our city. So again, just a reminder, I think Celia is going to help me at the back there. So grab a booklet and group leaders. You've got plenty of small group guides you can grab for your groups. Thank you. I heard this song the other day and I thought, I wonder if this could be our theme song for the series. No Outsiders to Your Love. Wren Collective, I love Wren Collective, great Irish Christian band. And but this is a great song, so let's listen to this. Thanks. Hopefully.
All we've been trying to say tonight is this, that the good news is that because of the cross of Jesus Christ, there are no outsiders to the love of God. Let's make that our anthem tonight.
When I have one
loved that. Some of you are thinking, oh. And others are like, wow, go for it. Do I have my thing here? It doesn't matter. I lost, put my thing down, but that's fine. There are no outsiders to God's love. All are welcome here. His cross is the open door. Aren't those wonderful words? And leads us beautifully into our communion time.